You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
I spoke with Marama earlier this morning about the Turi Whenua Māori Bill, which is due to be passed by Parliament this week. The bill proposes major changes to the governance of 27,000 titles of Māori land in New Zealand, which is currently administrated by the Māori Land Court. I began by asking her about the criticisms the Māori Party and its backing of the bill are facing from the Mana Party and other iwi leaders.
I'm not sure what the controversy is about, just quietly. Of recent time, I think it's more spin and rhetoric than it is actual pointing out causes that people disagree with. I sat in the Māori Affairs Select Committee, and there was all the members around the floor. We went over the bill clause by clause, and they did not object once to anything. But at the end, they all put in a minority report bagging the Turi Whenua. The Turi Whenua legislation has come about because for years now people have been complaining that the bill doesn't go far enough, or that they're not able to get clarity around succession orders. They can't find people in land blocks. You might have, the worst I've ever heard is a 700 square metre something that has 400 owners in it. That makes no sense at all. And so we need to find owners. We need to be able to track them down. If they're deceased, we need to get them off. If they've succeeded already. So what happens with communally owned land is it continues to be split and split and split. And so now you have thousands of owners inside one block of land. And there's a threshold of 75%. If you want to do anything with that land, you have to meet the threshold. But if you can't find the owners to do that, to be able to pass and make the decisions, then everything gets tied up and goes nowhere. The other problem that we have with Māori land is that because you've got communally owned land and people are trying to get past the old succession, what they do is they put it into a trust. So they decide we'll put all the land together, we'll manage it with a trust, and everybody can benefit together. So when they do that, though, because the land is still communally owned and it's in separate blocks, but they've come together in a trust, it's rated by individual blocks. So if you have a farm that has 7 acres, they get rated once. If you have a farm block or whatever lifestyle block, if you have Māori land that's held in trust that is 7 acres, but actually breaks down into 7 one-acre blocks, then you are rated on each one of those blocks at the same rate as the farm next door. So what this legislation does is it has a bunch of enablers that are associated to it. So because we push the Turi Whenua through, we also are dealing with landlocked land, where Māori land is people own a bit of land inside somebody else's farm, just a little block. It happens all over the place, and the farmer won't let them access that land or utilise it. It may or may not be fenced, and they may or may not be using it. So it happens everywhere, and it's a huge issue. We also have paper roads issue, where you can, when New Zealand was settled, somebody in England took the map of New Zealand and drew settlements and roads all over it and said, this is where how we're going to settle this country. They may have drawn a road straight down the side of a cliff, or they may have drawn a settlement straight over top of a urupa or on top of a mountain. They weren't too careful about these things. And so paper roads are free access roads for the whole of New Zealand, and it has not changed. But farmers don't want you going across their land on an imaginary paper road that's never been surveyed in order to access the beach. So again, this deals with that. And also the taking of Māori land under the Public Works Act. So we would like all Māori land exempt from being taken under Public Works Act, and tried to do that with a members bill years ago. But this legislation finally allows us to get that across the line because there's so few so small amount of Māori land left that to take more of it having already confiscated the majority of it and oversold New Zealand to the settling government on the day. That means we have less than 5% of land total in New Zealand is still in Māori hands. And so we believe that taking any more of it for public works is not on. Sorry, you need to go somewhere else. Anyway, so this bill deals with all of those.
Right, right. So there's a lot there. It seems like you're trying to address a lot of problems. Some of the criticisms that have come out are based around the fact that this will allow Māori land to fall into the hands of foreigners once it's freed up.
Yeah, wrong. Not even correct. It's not even true. It actually secures land better. This is the rhetoric and the spin that people are out there throwing around because they want to defeat the bill. So there were issues around thresholds and also Māori freehold land. So what this bill does is it says the threshold is currently 75%. If you want to raise that to 90% or 100% and your trust agrees, then go for it, which means it can never be sold. Māori freehold land is more secure now than it was before. The other problem is that the MLS, or the Māori Land Court, is the repository for all of the Māori land information. But it's all on paper, and it's all in big vaults of storage behind the court front face. And the people who work in there are amazing. They have so much institutional knowledge. They've worked, once you get into Māori Land Court, apparently, you never leave because there are people been there 40 years and they hold all the knowledge. But what we need to do is digitise the record, make it more accessible, and this seeks to remove the administrative arm from the court process. And that's called the MLS, Māori Land Service. And we believe that will help people who don't live on the land anymore access their information, access succession orders, check those things over. And so it is a huge job, and it's been coming a long time.
So you don't think these criticisms are based on anything and that they're merely being used to try and subvert the bill from passing? I mean, for what reasons would that be? You mentioned that they hadn't shown any of this beforehand and it's just now coming out.
It's more political than critical.
It's more against the Māori Party, you think?
Yes.
Even though the Mana Party, you know, has reached an agreement, you still think they're trying to score political points against your party?
Yep, I've talked to Hune about it. And the thing is he can have his opinion and he can go with what the people in the North feel. And but the thing is if you ask any of them, which clause don't you like? Which part of the bill actually allows that to happen? Which verses, which sentences, which lines in the bill it will enable the things that you say it will do? No one will tell you because they don't know. They are simply going off the rhetoric that has been spun. And people, because what I do think is that there is not enough good information out there. There is not enough good sort of pathways to the site so they can read for themselves about the bill, and it is a hugely complex bill, and so people won't know, and it does change things, but it puts more power in the hands of the landowners and away from the land court to make those decisions. So before, every single time you wanted to do something, you had to go to land court to get it passed. Now you can do that with your trust and with the vote of the majority of owners.
Right. And just finally, if we could touch on this this hit and run debacle that's currently going through the media. I mean, do you think there needs to be an inquiry into this?
I do. And because there is so much sort of statements, so many statements that have been made, and then people coming out and say, well, no, that's not true. And so there seems to be quite a bit of confusion. I don't know whether it's a political point scoring book that's come out at, right at the time of the election on purpose, possibly. But there is a story in there. And the Herald newspaper, for example, had tried for 3 years to get information released and finally have. So people have been chasing this down for a while. And I think it would benefit both the Defence Forces and New Zealand public if it was settled through an inquiry.
And who do you think needs to front up and get an inquiry through? Is that the responsibility of the Defence Force or the government, both of whom seem to be staying quiet for the time being?
Yeah, both of those. The Minister could ask for that to happen, and the Defence Force could undertake that inquiry themselves. Look, when we hold our Defence Force in high, high regard. They do an amazing job. They are well represented all around the world, and people appreciate them wherever they go. If there has been something in our history that puts a stain on that reputation that is being covered up or hidden, then it should be brought to light. The issues need to be addressed so that we can continue to have the best reputation in the world, we believe, for our Defence Force. So I think it would give clarity and security to the public about the state of our Defence Force, that it does not suffer from corruption, that if something like this had happened, a proper inquiry at the time and process would have been put in place to determine whether or not any wrongdoing has happened. So I think for our own satisfaction and to continue to support the Defence Force the way New Zealand, I believe, does, then I would think that we need to have an inquiry.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.